I have a word that I would like to share today with you guys, and I've probably thinking in my life and in your life that we've heard this verse that I'm about to share a lot. And this verse we like to quote, especially when everything is good and great in our life. And the verse says that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Have you heard this verse? Have you used this verse? And we've used that verse a lot in our life, but often when we go through challenging moments and we go through moments that it's kind of not the best, and this is when we wonder and we're thinking, really, can God use my life now? Can God use this situation for my good? Can God really bring things together for good when everything is ugly around me? And this is what I would like to talk to you today, being stuck for a purpose. Being stuck for a purpose. And often when we go through life and we get stuck somewhere and it feels like we don't have the strength and we don't have what it takes for us to go forward. But God has a purpose. This verse is much as powerful as when we're doing well. It also has power when we feel stuck. In the day we live in, we as a nation and the world really is stuck right now. The things that we probably used to do a year ago, we would never think that we would not do today. And part of the reason, because we're stuck. The family gatherings, the weddings, the birthday parties, all the things that we just got used to doing in life, now it's a bit different. And it's because we got stuck. But I want to talk to you about that every time when we get stuck in life, there is a purpose for it. It's not that God is not aware of things. It's not like God was with us in 2019 and then 2020 came when we got stuck as a nation and as a whole humanity, if you can put it that way, that God is not aware of things now. It might seem like that. It might seem like we're alone. It might seem like there is no purpose. We can't go forward. But God is very much involved in every area of our life. I'm reminded of my daughter. And even though she's 4 years old when she was growing up, and she's still growing up, but did you? I think all of us were in those shoes that we're trying to put our shoes on and then you get stuck, right? And the moment is that first, she would not want me to help her. She would want to do it on her own. And when she tries to do it on her own, she gets to a certain point and then she feels stuck. And at the moment when she feels stuck, frustration was out there and even yelling and screaming. And this is when I'm as a father running to the rescue. It's not that I was not aware of the process that she was going through in the beginning. It's not that I was not aware of that she had a lot of zeal to do it on her own. But I was just as a father watching from the side, and it came a moment when she got stuck and her cry penetrated my heart, and this is when I would come and help her. And I think that each one of us has a story like that. That on our journey, when we go on, we do things, and then we feel like we're stuck. And you might say, well, it makes sense when I was growing up, but why am I getting stuck now as an adult? Maybe, just maybe, because God is trying to get our attention. Maybe it's just because we are so used to do our own thing and go on our journey, and God is saying now, when you're stuck, you're gonna cry. You're gonna cry out to me. And as a father, I'm gonna come to your rescue. I'm gonna come and help you. We tend to think that being stuck is kind of a negative thing, that if you're stuck somewhere and the attitude is kind of like, I have to go somewhere, I'm late somewhere. Especially when you're flying and your plane is delayed, our patience is just zero at that moment. And we feel stuck in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the airport, but maybe God is just working things in our life that we're not aware of that moment. Maybe there is just an opportunity for us to share the gospel. I remember years ago, my brother and I were flying and we got stuck. We were flying for my brother's engagement. It was very important and we got stuck. It was a snowstorm. Flights were canceled and there was frustration. There was anger. There was confusion. We had to drive to Ohio just to get out and then getting stuck in the middle of the journey. But through it all, somehow, we got on a plane hours later and there was a lady who was sitting with us on a row, and we were able to share the gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ. It's just through the frustration, something came out of it. In the middle of us being stuck somewhere, God opens the door for us to see other people. In the moment when we look around and see other people and we hear the cry, it is our job and our responsibility as the church of Jesus Christ to be there one for another and to answer that cry. But it's not fun. It actually hurts. It's actually confusing at times when we are stuck. It's actually confusing at times when you have your plans and you're working and you're going forward and whatever what you do, you have a plan. And in one area or another, you're stuck in your life right now. It might be a marriage issue. It might be your children are not walking with the Lord. It might be circumstances at your job. It might be that you lost your job. It might be that you lost your loved ones during this season, during this pandemic. And you feel like you're stuck. You feel like the world just stopped and you don't know how to go forward. But God has a purpose. And this is what I'm here to talk to you about, that God has a purpose. And that verse that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord is still as powerful as it was yesterday. It's still as powerful in our life in the middle of struggle, in the middle of confusion. And the reason for that is for us to depend upon God. I believe with all my heart that it is God's intention for us to draw closer to Him. We sing songs, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. We sing all these things, but when it comes moments, when we get stuck, I believe God is using those stop moments to actually draw us nearer to Him. And sometimes it's not pretty, sometimes it hurts, sometimes it's actually confusing, but we'll work together if you love the Lord. The basis for all those things is for me and for you never to forget that God loves us and we are to love the Lord. And when we keep that as the foundation in our Christian walk with the Lord, we will go forward and we'll be able to look back and say, yes, in that moment, it looked like there was no hope, but because we love the Lord and because God's love was poured upon our lives, that worked together for good. I can't tell you how many stories and failures in my life that in the moment I thought it's the end, but those were the doors that God has used in my life to be the man who I am. And I have not arrived. And it's still a journey ahead of me. It's still things ahead of me. But I know that God is very much involved in every area of my life. And the tendency of the enemy is to come into our life, to put thoughts into our life that God is not involved in our stop moments. God is not involved when we are stuck. And that's the lie from the pit of hell. God is very much involved in our life. He even knows the hair that is on our heads. Even those who don't have hair, He knows as well. He knows as well because He's involved in our life and He knows us by name. Amen. There's a quote that I read. I'm not sure by who, but I just found it that it was very, very powerful. It says, trying to get through life on your own limited strength, knowledge, and resources leads to futility and loss of hope. This is what it leads us to on our own strength. But then it says, but in God's economy, getting to the end of yourself is the beginning of hope. It's amazing that often we find on our own that we're moving, and when things don't happen the way we intended, we think that it's the end of the world. But for God, it's actually the beginning of what He's trying to do in our life, because that causes us to depend upon Him. The nation of Israel, they moved in Egypt. And they were so excited to be there. It was the cry that God has heard. And they came in, they had abundance of bread, they were living, they were multiplying. But in one moment in history, they got stuck. They got stuck and they were confused. And they became slaves. They became just not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, just being tired of doing what they're doing. And in that moment, there was a cry in their heart. And they began to cry out to the Lord. And God heard that cry. They got stuck. But God had a purpose for that. Why? For His miraculous wonders to be revealed. It's amazing how in those kind of moments when we feel stuck, it's actually the purposes of God to reveal His glory, to reveal His miraculous power to our life. If we turn to Him, if we cry out to Him, if we come to Him, if we're not saying, forget God, now I'm just gonna do things in my own way. We are to rely on God even more in those moments. And those are the moments that God is gonna do things through our life. that he was not able to do when we were moving on our own. It is something beautiful about being stuck, right? Isaiah 43, verse 15 through 19 says this, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariots and horses, the army of the power. They shall lie down together and they shall not rise. They're extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. I would love to focus at verse 19. It's powerful. It says this, behold, I will do new things. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And this is what the Lord is speaking to the nation of Israel when they feel stuck, when they feel like it's the end of their lives, when they feel hopeless. God is coming and reminding them that even though you're in the wilderness, the sand is maybe up to your knees, it's so hard for you to walk, but miraculously, I will make a road for you in the wilderness. Even though when you come to the sea and you see that the sea is in front of you and the enemy is behind you and there is no way where to go, miraculously, when you feel stuck, I will open up the sea for you so you can walk on a dry land. It is in the moments when you come to where the doors are closed and nothing can open those doors, only the Spirit of God can come and say a word and miraculous things happen. But they often happen when we feel stuck, when we feel empty, when we feel discouraged, when we feel broken, when we feel confused. Those are the moments that God says, now I can come and do something that you've asked me all of these years to do through your life, but I'm able to do it because you're willing now to listen. You're willing now to turn to me. You cried out to me for help and I'm right here. God is much aware of every situation we're going through. How would we know that his path is strong in the wilderness? It is us actually sometimes going through the wilderness. How will we know that we will make it through the times where waters are flowing in our life and it seems like we're sinking? It's actually maybe being in those moments when we do feel like sinking. How will we know that God is faithful in the moments when we don't have the resources what it takes? It's actually in those moments when we feel stuck, like we don't have them, and we're gonna ask God, and God miraculously gonna answer our cry and our prayer. I believe we live in a time that a lot of the things that we've heard from the Word of God, the promises that we've claimed, the things that were so easy to quote, the promises of God, they were yes and amen, yesterday, today, and forever, and they are the same. But it was maybe a heart from our hearts just to say those things, believing, but our lives actually tended to be a little bit different because we had everything in abundance. We live in a free country. We did what we wanted. We had jobs. We had everything. But now God has put the world on a pause and everybody feels like we're stuck. But this is the moment when he's going to answer our cry and he's going to answer our prayers. It's just not the way we've thought of. Maybe it's not the way that we expect it, but in our moments of being stuck, God is the same. He is powerful. He is not just the same yesterday when he was in Egypt doing this all miraculous things, but he's also the same today to do this for us. And I think that reading stories from the Bible, how God moved, it's good and it's powerful that encourages us. But I believe maybe, just maybe, God will allow us to experience some of these stories so he can manifest his power in the day of age we live in. And it's because we acknowledge when we're stuck that we need God. It is like the nation of Israel, when they were stuck, they cried out to the Lord and God says, I've heard their cry and I'm gonna send Moses. It is when David was running for his life from Saul and he was stuck. He was stuck in the mountains, hiding for his life, and he was crying to the Lord, and he had a promise from God, and God heard his cry, and he began to do miraculous things in his life. Is it ironic that David was beloved by God? He was a man according to God's heart, but it's also he paid a lot of prices. It's also David was in a lot of positions when he was stuck, but in those moments, God was working on his character. And he was molding something in David's heart for David to depend upon the Lord. It's just the moments when you're stuck, when it seems ugly, it can be actually something beautiful about that. When it hurts, actually, I prefer not to get stuck. We would prefer not to be stuck anywhere. We would prefer everything to just be easy and just positive. But I'm telling you something. I'm going to remind all of us something. That God often allows us to get stuck so we can turn our eyes on Him. So we can turn our eyes on Him. And our help comes from the Lord. I would like to share a scripture that is written now in the New Testament of a man that the Bible doesn't even put a name, his name down. He just says, a man. There is no name. There is no popularity. There is nothing about him that he can shine. And there is nothing in his resume that he can bring and boast. But God saw something in this man. And even though he's just left on the pages of the Bible being just a man, but he was stuck. He was stuck at one point of his life. But because there was something greater in him, this hope in his heart, there was a miracle in his life. Because there is something beautiful, beautiful that happens when we put our trust and faith in God in the moments when we are ready to give up. This passage is written in the book of Acts chapter 3. Verses 1 through 10. The book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 says this. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer in the ninth hour. I would like to stop here for a moment and just remind that people that walk with the Lord, they also pray. And it says that Peter and John, they were going on the journey to the temple because there was the hour of prayer. How much we need prayer today. And when we pray and when we go to the temple to pray, when we are on our journey, everywhere where we go, and in our mind there is prayerful moments that we just ask God to just lead us and guide us. God is going to remind us and open up doors for us. And we're going to be part of what God is doing in our world miraculously because we would be the people that are going to be praying people. In verse 2 it says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful. Isn't it ironic that it's a lame man? He probably thinks there is nothing beautiful about him. He probably thinks there is nothing that he can offer. There is no strength, no power. There is nothing that he can offer, but yet he's coming to these gates of the temple that are beautiful. And maybe he's just looking at these gates of the temple that reminds where God's presence is, right? In the temple where people were thinking that this is where God moves. And he may be year after year, day after day, comes to this temple. And he's sitting at those temples. He looks at these gates that are beautiful. He looks at the temple that are beautiful. But yet he finds himself being stuck. He finds himself in his sickness. And he says, to ask alms from those who were journeyed into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John and Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he looked at him, and he took them by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles, bones, received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked into the entrance of the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. At this time, I would like to ask the worship team to come, and we're just going to close with a couple thoughts. It's not going to be a long sermon. I'm just going to share what has been on my heart. But maybe there's people over here that you identify yourself like this man who doesn't even have a name that is being put here on these pages. But there was just a man that he was brought up. Actually, he couldn't even move.
He was brought up to these gates of the temple. And can you imagine so many people that were going to the temple to pray were just passing by him. And it was not like just in this story, just in this moment. But it was day after day when they were going to the temple, year after year, this man from his mother's womb was lame. And he was just sitting there seeking help. And everything around him seemed beautiful. People were walking, maybe shouting and jumping. Maybe he was just sitting by the temple and hearing the music and the worship that was going on in the sanctuary. And maybe he was thinking, man, there is so much faith in that sanctuary, but I feel stuck outside the sanctuary, but nobody really has the power to come and bring me into the sanctuary. Maybe he was looking at all the hundreds of people that were passing by, that they could not offer him anything. And sometimes the easiest thing for us as Christians to do, to give maybe $5 or to give $10 to somebody that is in need, instead of just stopping for a moment for the people that feel stuck, for the people that feel like they do not have a future. Maybe it's just easier for us to say, I'll just pray for you, and maybe not even pray. Maybe it's just easier for those people that were just walking by, seeing him and feeling empty, that I don't have nothing to offer to you, because they had everything together in their life. But now we read that Peter and John, they were the people that he thought they had things together in their life, but God had a call upon their lives. And God called them to follow them. And now Peter and John, they're going to the temple in the hour of prayer. And now they're exercising the power of prayer, not just in the temple, but on the way to the temple. And because they were doing that, they had a vision that God saw them. They had that vision the way God saw people. They began to have the heart the way God had the heart for people. And they saw this man asking for things, this guy that was stuck. Everything around him, beautiful gates, beautiful temple, beautiful worship, beautiful sermons, but yet he was not inside of the temple because he was stuck. And I believe there is people that maybe we know that we're trying to invite them to Jesus Christ. We're trying to bring them to church. And we just think, oh, the pastor is going to do this. The pastor is going to just bring a sermon and God is going to touch them. And somehow we came to understanding that our lives do not matter in the body of Jesus Christ. But it's only the pastors, the evangelists, is those who are on a stage. Those only have the power to touch people. Those are only the people that really can pray miraculous things can happen. And somehow we took our lives and we put it aside and we began to live our own lives and doing our own thing. But God has allowed the church of Jesus Christ to be stuck for a moment in the day of age we live in. It's to stop us from our ways of going left and right and to say, I want your attention at this moment. Because I can use your life to touch people outside the temple that are stuck. Don't wait just for people to invite to church and let the church figure out. I believe that we're going to live to see that God is going to do miraculous things in our neighborhoods. You don't have to come and bring people to church, but you're going to bring church to people. You're going to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to say, what you're asking, I don't have. But what I do have is the power of the Holy Spirit in me that I can say in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And this is the season we're going to live in. This is the season we're going to enter. That it's not going to be by wisdom. It's not going to be just by arguments we're going to bring people to conversion. But it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit to say, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I'm stuck. You're stuck. But I know somebody who is not stuck. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says that when this miracle took place outside the temple, that he began to walk with them into the temple. There was such a joy. There was shouts of joy, dancing, leaping. And he was just praising the Lord. And probably all the other Christians were just stoic, like sitting and looking, well, what is going on? But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. You see, somebody in that temple had the joy of the Lord because something happened to this man. And I believe sometimes we lose that joy. We lose those things that God is trying to do in our life. And we lose those moments of salvation that he did in our life. And we think that we have arrived. But there are moments that we're going to come in our journey. That God is going to allow us to get stuck. But that doesn't happen because you're not loved or because God is not involved. But that actually happens because he loves us and because he's very much involved. And he allows those things to get our attention, to say that you were born for a purpose and you have a call. And you don't have to wait for somebody else to do what you've called to do. But you have the same power of the Holy Spirit as Peter and John had when they were on the way to the temple. Hundreds of people passed by this lame man. This lame man was stuck. But because somebody saw that and somebody had a heart for it, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to speak life. I don't have what it takes, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. I don't know what you're going through and I don't know where you're stuck, but I do know that God has a way. God has a way for each one of us. In that journey that you're in, God is very much involved and he's reminding you that that point or that season in your life is not for you to get discouraged and to walk away, to give up, but it's actually to allow us to cry to the Lord so we can learn how to depend upon God. Amen. And I'm not just telling you something that even though I'm young, not about to die, right? But even though I'm young, but I'm also going through things in life. And I'm also sharing some of the things that God is teaching me, that your trust cannot be in the things that you do, but it has to be in me. There's so much freedom in that. There is so much freedom in that. Because then we know that everything that we do, we are to do as unto the Lord. And God is going to use our lives and empower our lives to touch people. Because it was never about just the stage, but it was about everyday life to empower us to live and have influence on other people that are stuck. So if you're stuck today, like me, join me here. And we're going to pray together. And we're going to ask the Lord, God, I find myself at this beautiful gate to the temple, but I find myself stuck. I don't have what it takes. And I even need help for others to bring me here because I didn't even bring myself here. There is only one thing I can just share with you. I don't have what it takes, but I have somebody who has what it takes, and it's Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And the words are, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Whatever where you are, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk and put your faith and trust in him. Put your hope in him. Don't rely on yourself and find satisfaction in him. And you're going to have this joy. You're going to dance. You're going to shout. You're going to leap like this man, and everybody's going to look around you like you're crazy. But you will know what happened with you. You will know, because it's the power of God that comes and transforms us from inside out and gives us the courage and the feet to stand strong. His bones became strong. You become courageous to stand for what is right. And you're gonna share what God has done for you. Amen. Stand with me, please. For those that are here, or maybe you're watching online, I would like to just give this opportunity to you. If you have not found Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and you've heard the gospel today, that Jesus has the power to resurrect you from where you are. Maybe you became cynical about the church, and maybe you find yourself like this layman at the gates of the church, hearing the sermons, hearing the worship, but not being inside to partake out of that. God can save you. He can bring you out of next to the temple, into the temple. It's called the body of Jesus Christ. And he can give you a new life. And if you do not know how this life works or what you need to do, I would like to help you out. And as easy as ABC. And A is admit that you're a sinner and in need of salvation. It's admitting that you cannot move into the temple on your own. It has to be a supernatural power of Jesus Christ that comes in you and causes you to get up from where you are and walk forward. B is believe that Jesus died and rose again for your sins. The Bible said that we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, and we all are in need of salvation. We're all sinners. We have not arrived, but we go forward by the grace and the mercy of God. And C is confess that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Confess with your mouth, believing in your heart, and say, God, I confess that you're the Lord of my life from now on. I don't want to do things on my own, but I want you to lead my life and guide me. And D is actually being discipled. a disciple of Jesus Christ that will follow what the Bible says. Even though when we think something different, but we'll say, I agree with you, God, because this is what your word is calling me to do. And I would like for you to pray this prayer. If this is you that you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, even here or online, all heads bowed, and if we can close our eyes and just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the hope we have in you. I admit that I'm a sinner and that I'm in need of salvation. I'm tired being right at the gate of the temple. I want to partake from your goodness. I want to partake from your promise. I believe in my heart that Jesus is my Lord. And I confess that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Help me to guide me, lead my life, and help me to be who you called me to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're this person who's watching online, or maybe even here, if you're visiting us, that you have decided to pray this prayer with us and give your life to Jesus Christ, we would like to know that and get in touch with you. So if you can text us, decided to TSC 94090. Decided TSC 94090. And for those that are here, I would like to just give you an opportunity that if you feel like stuck, you feel like there is no way, it seems like you're fearful even going on a break or doing your own life and going in the future, just leaving Summit for a season for the holidays, and you feel like you're stuck, you don't know what awaits in front of you. Maybe you don't need to know right now, but all what you need to know, that Jesus is much involved in your life. And if this is you, I would like to pray with you afterwards. And if you can come up front, join me here up front, and we're gonna pray in a moment for God to just hear your cry, and in the name of Jesus Christ, for you to get up and walk in His strength, walk in His joy, because His grace and mercy is upon our lives. Amen.